Hello and welcome to Nourish Your Biblical Roots. I'm Caleb Burrows, Senior Manager of Education and Development, the Chicago Office of the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews.
And I'm Gadi Teichman-Dan, Senior Director of Content, Marketing and Communication in the Fellowship Office in Israel.
We're broadcasting live today from Dallas, Texas at NRB, that's the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. During our time here, we'll be talking with a lot of special guests, a variety of topics as they relate to Israel and our work here at the Fellowship. Today, we are beyond honored to welcome to the podcast one of Israel's watchmen on the walls. Captain Guy Barak has served in the Israel Navy for 26 years. Currently, he serves as the Israel Navy's attaché to the U.S., as well as Israel's military attaché to the United Nations. With such a career of firsthand experience defending the Holy Land and working with Israel's allies in the ongoing global fight for freedom and the fight against terror, we're so excited to hear Captain Barak's story of his service, as well as his insights into Israel's history and where Israel stands today as it faces threats from all sides. Captain Barak, welcome to the podcast, and thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank you so much for having me here. It's a great honor for me, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak in front of you. I've been serving the Israeli Navy for the last 26 years, mainly in a combat position as a combat commander, commanding different types of combat units in the Israeli Navy. And since three years ago, I came here as a naval attaché to the United States, representing the Israeli Navy, working with the U.S. Navy, Coast Guard, Marines. And since October 7th, I've sent to be the Israeli military attaché to the United Nations, which I did this position for the first almost a year of this war. I can share with you that, Israel is a small country, as you know, and what happened on October 7th touches almost each and every family and each and everyone from Israel. And my wife's uncle was murdered in his house in Kibbutz Nir Oz in front of his wife's eyes, and she got captured and went as hostages into Gaza. We were lucky enough that she was one of those who's been released on the first hostages deal. And I also lost friends during October 7th and the days after. So what I'm trying to say is that almost everyone in Israel that's something that relevance knows someone relevant to October 7th. And it's all mixed together, the national tragedy with the personal tragedy and the professional tragedy as a military officer. We are still in this war. You know, we're right now in the middle of this hostages deal. And most important thing for us is that we'll bring all of the hostages back home soon as possible, those who are alive and those who need to be buried in a respectful way in Israel. And I don't know what's going to happen next, because you know all these deals are dealt by the political level, and I'm a military officer. But we as a military, as the IDF, ready for every scenario that comes, either during this hostages deal or afterwards. And not just in the Gaza Strip, because as you're probably familiar, we're fighting in seven different fronts, either in Lebanon with Hezbollah, the terror groups from Syria and Iraq, the Houthis from Yemen, of course, the Gaza Strip, the terror comes from Judah and Samaria, and of course, Iran, who is behind all the evil that's going on in the Middle East. So this war is still going on. I don't know when it's going to end, but I can tell you that in order to finish this war, we stick to the three main goals of it. First of all, is bringing back all the hostages back home, as I mentioned. The second is eliminate Hamas and dismantle it as a terror organization in the Gaza Strip, which means that they must not have any military capability or governing capability that they might be a threat in the future for the people of Israel. And the third goal is to be able to bring people in Israel back to their houses. So that means no more threat from the Gaza Strip. People should no longer be afraid of someone else taking their kids and babies from their beds in the middle of the night, or slaughter their parents or grandkids, or kidnap them to Gaza, or even shooting rockets at their houses. Once we achieve these three goals, we can say that the war might be over.
Well, and that would also apply to the North as well. I know the fellowship has helped a lot of the people that have been displaced and attacked in Northern Israel, that, you know, a lot of the attention is on the South, but you all are affected on all sides.
Absolutely. So the Israel society, many of the families been displaced both from the Gaza envelope, so those cities and towns that around the Gaza Strip in Israel. But you're right, also in the north, many evacuated their houses because Hezbollah decided to start a war of its own on October 8th, the day after October 7th. And yes, we are now dealing as well up in the north. You know, for now, we are having a presence that we're limited by time and specific areas, so we can guarantee that the kind of a threat we had on October 7th next to the Gaza Strip will not happen in a scenario up in the north. By the way, we found Hezbollah plans to conquer the Galil, and we found many of their capabilities, which we destroyed during the last couple of months, that we might face an October 7th from the north.
Captain Barak, thank you for sharing this. As a fellow Israeli, I think that October 7th is an open wound for all of us, and you being here speaking with us is really significant and important in this incredible convention with so many Christian supporters. We at the fellowship are supporting the IDF soldiers, lone soldiers, and give security forces help to continue defend the borders of Israel. Can you share with me how do you personally see the support that IDF receives during this conflict?
So support we are getting mostly is through FIDF, the Friends of the Israeli Defense Forces, that actually in direct communication with the Israeli Ministry of Defense and the IDF, and knows exactly what our needs from us. That means that everything that goes through them is actually what we need, because we ask for it. And, you know, we've been supporting IDF soldiers for many years, but I can tell you that since October 7th, mainly I saw the direct and very fast answers to all our requests, daily requests, by the way, for the most urgent needs of this war. For example, we got special ambulances that could drive in a rough roads in the Gaza Strip, and we could use them for blood plasmas during this war. PTSD is something that become more and more common in Israel, but not just, by the way, not just for those who fight on the battlefield, but for their families, for their kids, their spouses, their parents, those who experienced evacuated their houses and been all over the country. So FIDF facilitate PTSD programs to assist us, and not just to be able to go back to the battlefield for those soldiers who needed this treatment and recovery and being able to get their health treatment, but even for those who are not on the battlefield, that will be able to, in the future, build a house in Israel in an appropriate way as human beings, you know, build a family. So PTSD is a big deal now in Israel. Of course, we have more and more, unfortunately, widows and orphans, the bereaved families is becoming bigger and bigger family, and supporting those families of the IDF is something that we meet. By the way, from FIDF, they made a new program of adopting bereaved families. And so there are many, many programs and sources that we get from your communities that support us during the war. And our requests probably change every day based on the development of this war. But there's another important thing by supporting our soldiers, which me as a combat officer and a commander, I enjoyed the best men and women serving in the IDF, those from bad social economic background that could have the choice either to do kind of a office position in the IDF and spend some time working and getting money to support their families, but they were able to bring 100% of themselves and serve as a combat soldier because they knew someone else taking care of their basic needs. And this is something is crucial for our society because, as you know, the IDF is the melting pot of the Israel society, and we should stay this way.
Captain Barak, so this is really an honor for us and privilege for us to give the support to the IDF soldiers with the help of Friends of IDF. During this year, we met many injured soldiers, those heroes, protectors of Israel. Can you share with me your experience of speaking with the IDF soldiers who were in combat and their feelings, and your personal story maybe as well?
So I have, of course, both friends and family members who, it's hard to say enjoyed this treatment, but, you know, felt the love and the support once they've been injured and spent some time in recovery centers or hospitals. They got everything they need for themselves, for recovery of their health, for their well-being, either a mental assistant or even physical stuff that, you know, will improve their situation, make them feel better. And this is something that really makes them being able to go back and join their units and come back to the fight, because the motivation of our people is high, as you know. The dedication of our young men and women is something that is, you can never find it in any other place around the world. And of course, people from all around the world, reservists, find a way back to Israel to join the fight with your community assistant that provide them the ability to stay in Israel, to be communicating with their families, for lone soldiers, for example, as you mentioned. And this is really the strength of our people.
Thank you. As we wrap up, do you have a message for all of Israel and the IDF's Christian friends who love and support you? Do you have any closing words for them?
Well, first of all, I will say that since October 7th, you know, it is clear to us who is with us and who is against us. And we are grateful and really appreciate everything that this community does for us, supporting us, with us, holding our hands, hugging us. There is one more thing that I think is crucial by supporting us. And you know, we mentioned the seven fronts that we deal with, but there's an eighth front. That's the social media and the public opinion and the anti-Semitism. And this is the only front that it's not just a military one, but it's relevant for all of us. All of us are soldiers in this front. And we are grateful for each and every one of you guys that speaks for us, tells the truth, know to say and differentiate what is good and what is evil. And even now, give me the stage to speak in front of you. We're grateful for that, and thank you so much.
Well, we're grateful for all you've done and all the brave men and women who serve under you. So please send our love to them.
Thank you, and let's... give us the honor and the pleasure that you are praying for us, for our people, for the recovery of the injured, and for the hostages to be back home as soon as possible, and for the strength of Israel. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you so much, Captain Barak.
Thank you. Thank you very much.